Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 2. In this chapter, we have Ezekiel's call and appointment to be a prophet for the Lord to the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 2, with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapter 1, we had the great vision of the glory of God that Ezekiel received when he was called by the Lord to be a prophet to the people of Israel. That great vision certainly reminded us of the vision that the Apostle John had of the glory of God in the book of Revelation, didn't it? I'm reading from Revelation chapter 4. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 through 8. So certainly this vision that the Apostle John had reminds us of the great vision of the glory of God that Ezekiel had. Now at the end of Ezekiel chapter 1, we saw that Ezekiel fell on his face in worship, and he heard a voice speaking. It was the Lord himself. And now here in Ezekiel chapter 2, we have the Lord speaking directly to Ezekiel and appointing him to be a prophet to the people of Israel. Notice from verse 3, that not just the kingdom of Judah was in view in Ezekiel's call, but the whole house of Israel. We also see in verse 3 that the Lord addressed Ezekiel as Son of Man. You know, this important expression is used more than 90 times in the book of Ezekiel, the Son of Man. The phrase Son of Man emphasized the fact that Ezekiel was only a mere man. Even though he was called to the high office of a prophet of God, he was still only a human being like the rest of us. Now in Daniel chapter 7, the term Son of Man takes on messianic implications. So much so that at the time of our Lord, the expression Son of Man carried both the meaning from the book of Ezekiel and the meaning from the book of Daniel. I'm reading Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, And they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. So we see here in Daniel chapter 7 that the Son of Man is the coming Messiah. Thus, at the time of Christ, the term Son of Man combined the meanings as conveyed in both Ezekiel and Daniel. Son of Man, remember, was our Lord's favorite expression of himself. In reference to our Lord, the expression Son of Man conveyed both his deity and his humanity. He was the Son of Man in that he was fully human, just as we are, yet apart from sin. And he was the Son of Man in that he was fully divine and the predicted Messiah in line with the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one. God's messengers will experience resistance to the Word. God's messengers will experience resistance to the Word. You know, some Christians have the idea that going into the ministry full-time is a gravy train or easy life. Oh, how wonderful it must be to be free of this secular world and serving the Lord full-time, right? Well, listen, serving the Lord full-time in the ministry is not a vacation. It's work and labor if you're doing what the Lord has called you to do. And not only that, all believers should be serving the Lord full time, wherever we are and whatever we do in life. And it is work. In fact, it is hard work, but it is also joyful work because we're working for the greatest master. And there is eternal reward for our labors. 1 Corinthians 15 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15, 58. One of the reasons that the work of the Lord is hard is because there is resistance to the word of the Lord. The enemy is at work, and people do not want to hear the word of the Lord. But you know, even if people will not listen to God's word, we are to preach it anyway. Look again at what God tells Ezekiel here in verses 4 through 7. "They are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed of their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious." As Ezekiel met resistance to his preaching, so will we meet resistance when we share the word of God with people. Illustration. You know, I remember meeting a young woman who sat next to me on a plane. She was carrying a tennis racket. Because I liked tennis, we had some common ground there, and we had a great conversation about her involvement in the game of tennis. But when I turned the conversation around to her relationship with God, I met great resistance. She did not want to hear the word of the Lord. In fact, I remember she said to me, "You don't really believe all that stuff in the Bible, do you?" So whether it be Ezekiel's day or our own day, people resist hearing the word of God. God's messengers will experience resistance to the word. Doctrinal point number two. God's messengers must internalize the word. God's messengers must internalize the word. In verses 8 through 10, we see that in the vision, God gave Ezekiel a scroll to eat. Now, scrolls were only written on one side. But this scroll was written on both sides, indicating that the Lord had much that he wanted to communicate to Israel. The content of the scroll was lamentations, mourning, and woe. as we see in verse 10. This is really the content of Ezekiel in large measure: lamentations, mourning, and woe. In other words, this was the word of the Lord. The fact that Ezekiel was to eat the scroll is significant. The meaning of this symbolic act in the vision was that Ezekiel was to internalize the word of God. God's word had to be worked into Ezekiel's soul and become an integral part of Ezekiel's conscious and subconscious self before Ezekiel could speak forth the word of the Lord as God's prophet. We too must internalize the word of God. Just hearing sermons once a week is not enough. A 5-minute devotional time each day is not enough. We must study the Word of God. We must meditate on the Word of God. We must internalize the Word of God so that consciously and subconsciously we live and speak in line with its guiding principles and truth. Have you internalized the Word of God? When we internalize the Word of God, we will find that it is a joy to our souls. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Jeremiah 15, 16. Only when we internalize the Word of God can we truly be God's messengers. How can we expect to communicate God's Word if we really don't know it and don't really live by it completely? God's messengers must internalize the word. Now, what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 2? God gives us strength to do what he calls us to do. God gives us strength to do what he calls us to do. In verse 1, God commanded Ezekiel to stand on his feet. And in verse 2, the Spirit of God entered Ezekiel and gave him the strength to stand on his feet. Remember, in the Old Testament, believers were not continually indwelt by the Holy Spirit as they are today. But do you see the spiritual principle that we have here in verses 1 and 2? God gives us the strength to do what he calls us to do. In verse 1, Ezekiel is commanded to stand on his feet. But in verse 2, we see that God gives him the strength to do what he's commanded to do. The Spirit of God enters Ezekiel and sets him on his feet. It's interesting that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or strengthened by God. That's the meaning of the name Ezekiel. God gave Ezekiel the strength he needed for the unpleasant ministry, the unpleasant tasks ahead of him. And God will give us the strength for whatever he knows we will face in the future. It may be a trial or a test of our faith. It may be the labor involved in starting a new ministry or church. It may be significant opposition that we will face from people or circumstances. But you can be sure that God gives us the strength to do whatever he calls us to do. So that is our practical application from Ezekiel chapter 2. God gives us the strength to do what he calls us to do.